Again, good morning. This morning we're going to take a look at a text that most people do not associate with Christmas. But as we look a little more closely at it, we will see that it tells us a lot about the meaning behind the birth of Jesus Christ and the reasons that he came. And the promises that were given through him. And because of these sure promises, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Please be seated. As I was taking a look at this text, and I realized that there's so much in it. And so we're just going to kind of work our way through it this morning, because it was one of those things that was just very overwhelming as I started studying and I started writing and I started digging through it. The first thing that really is announced here in the beginning, John starts his gospel, is this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's this thing that's an absolute joined when you start talking about the Word and God. And that's something to be understood, because when you start talking about the Word, and we're going to get it to it in the next verse, we're going to find out that the Word is not an object, but person. You see, the Word of God spoke things into existence. We get into that as that goes on. But that Word of God is absolutely powerful. He was in the beginning with God. And see, that's the interesting part about this. Especially when you get into some other translations, you start to understand that there's a personal or a masculine personal pronoun here. He was in the beginning. And so now we have to start dealing with the Word of God as person. And that's what Christmas is. That's what the birth of Jesus Christ is. We now deal with the Word of God as person. And that's really what the book, or what our reading from Hebrews talks about. A long time ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son. And that's the thing that really goes on when you start dealing with the Christmas story about the birth of Jesus Christ. God changed. No longer was there a mediator between God and mankind, being another man who was just that, a man. Now God came as himself, as his son, that no separation exists. And God spoke to us, he became man. It's kind of like the story of the goldfish. And this illustration to me is a great illustration, because you can have a little goldfish in a bowl and you can feed it every day and it'll swim around and it'll come up and take your food, and you can really, really love that goldfish. But when you walk up to that little bowl, it's still scared of you for the most part. Or if you stick your fingers in there, it's going to fly away from you. Because the goldfish can't really understand that you care for it and you love it. And so, in this simple illustration, what happened is God came and became the goldfish so we could understand him. So we could see him and we could know him. And this is the God. This is how powerful Jesus Christ actually is. We think of him as that little innocent baby in the manger. And, you know, we kind of a lot of times get lost in that whole portrayal. But verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The creation, all that we see, all that we taste, that we feel, was made through and by Jesus Christ himself. That baby. It's an awesome thing to start to really understand what God did. God contained himself into a child, into human form, into a human being. The great majesty of God is now in the person of Jesus Christ. That we can actually know him. We can actually understand him. We can actually hear what he has to say and see what he does. And he brings life. When you start to know who he is, you start to understand he is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came as a light. And we'll find out, you know, or we'll take a look as we go on, that he came to men, and men didn't like him. Because he shined and he let them know who he was. And even today, in the light of him, we find out who we are. When we really start to understand who Jesus Christ is, and the perfection and the holiness that he represents, and we compare ourselves, or that light shines upon us, we find out that in a lot of cases, we don't like him. Until we realize that he also came not only to show us who we are, but to redeem us from who we are. And John the Baptist was the last of the prophets to go out and to announce who Jesus was. And that's what John the gospel writer is talking about in verse 6. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe in him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is really John the Baptist's role in this whole thing, is to tell people about the coming Messiah so that they would believe when he showed up. The last couple weeks, we've talked about John the Baptist during Advent. We've heard about some of the things that he did, how he dressed, what he ate, what his messages were, especially of repentance. And yet, John the Baptist's ministry was about one thing: to let people know that the Messiah was coming. And when the Messiah came, God took him out of the picture, because his job was done. Now that sounds kind of bad, because those of us who know John the Baptist know he got beheaded. But the thing is God used even that to lift up his son. And trust me, God took care of John the Baptist. That's not a huge problem there. John went on to his reward. But Jesus Christ is the true light, the true Messiah, the one that comes to give us light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. I think this is one of the most telling things that tells us about how the world, and even us, understand Christ. Here is the one who made the world, or the world was created through him. And he comes, and the world doesn't know him. And in fact, the world rejects him. Rejects him to the point that they're willing to put him to death. And this is what the world thinks of Christ. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, this is really what we want to do with him. Because he doesn't follow our pattern of what we would like. He doesn't do things in the way that we think he should do them. And so, well, he can't be God then. And this really becomes the hard part, because the world doesn't see him for who he is. And even the Jews, who are his own, didn't believe him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And so he went to his chosen people, the ones he had guided. And they rejected him too. They called for his death. They stood below and demanded that Pilate crucify him. And so Pilate, being a representative of the Gentiles, had him crucified. And this all-powerful being, the one who creates the world out of nothing more than a proclamation, "Let there be light," there was light. Allows himself to be nailed to a cross, to shed his blood for our sins. And in doing so, gave us something much greater. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, they gave the right to become children of God. Even though we as mankind, Jew and Gentile, rejected him and rejected his message and rejected everything that he stood for and wanted him dead, he gave us the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to believe his word and to become like him, a child of God. And the only thing that he asks of us is that we believe him. The one thing, as I started looking through the Gospel of John again, and the more I read the New Testament, the more I love the book of John, because all that is asked of us, and it's so plain within the book of John, is that you believe. Believe the promises of God through Jesus Christ. Believe your sins forgiven in the name and shed blood of Jesus. And it's over for you. You are a child of God. That's it. And it's a great gift. And it's a gift to each and every one of us. Because that's really what verse 13 tells us. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So they weren't born of blood, or because you can't become a Christian by wanting to, nor by this going, yep, I'm going to make sure that this acts Christian and does all the proper things. Becoming a Christian is a gift. It is not by man's will that we are children of God. It is by the will of God Himself. God wills you to be His child. God wills you to believe and has given you the strength and the faith to believe. Believe it. Cling to it. Hang on to it. Even in the times of doubt, know it to be true. Look back on that gift that was given to you on Christmas morn. And we find out in the last verse of our text exactly who God is, or who Jesus Christ is. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And see, this is the thing. Jesus Christ came as the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh, the Word made a human being, so that we could see Him, we could know Him, we could understand Him, and we could follow Him. God is kind of that out there idea. It's not hard to talk about God, because God's kind of whatever people make Him up to be. But Jesus Christ, on the other hand, you can know. You can read about Him. He's written about Him all the way through this. You can see how He treats people. You can see and know what He has said. Because He's one of us. He has now given us the ability to know Him. And so if you want to know God, start with that little baby. And look at Him through His life. Who He is. What He did. In our reading from Hebrews, it says this: He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of His nature. If you want to know who God is, find out who Jesus Christ is. And that's the gift that we have been given on Christmas. I go back to what I said in the beginning. Most people don't think of this as a Christmas text. But this tells us and explains to us what that gift is. And who, especially, that gift is. It is God in the flesh coming to save us from ourselves and our sin. And so this is a Christmas text. And merry and blessed Christmas to all of you. Because this is one of the greatest gifts that you will ever receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, for that Word incarnate, for the forgiveness that He has offered through His blood, and for the life that He has given us through His resurrection. Father, we thank you that you have called all of us to be your children. And we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would work in us to help us to cling to that each and every day, to know it to be true, even in the face of the doubt that we have sometimes in our minds. Father, that you would help us to believe, to trust, and to know your Son, Jesus Christ, our light, and the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.